your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back to KER Politics, the McKinney Corlin Political Opinion Hour. We're going to talk a little bit more about, we've got about 8 minutes here. It's one of our shorter segments, so we're going to talk about what's our opinions about Biden's speech on Thursday, the 1st of September, which he gave, I want to stress, in Philadelphia. So far, our opinions are that he didn't really do himself any favors. He didn't do the Democrats any favors. I'm going to ask Jimmy to go on and opine on that a little bit more. Jimmy, you're on, bud.
Yeah, so where we ended the last segment, I was talking about the incitement of violence. You know, he actually was, it appears to be very specifically targeting a group of people, the activists, the most, progressive, but not just progressive, potentially abusive people on the left. We all lived through the summer of 2020, where we watched literally hundreds of cities burn.
Right.
You know, over 200 cities, over $2 billion worth of damage that was created by Antifa and BLM riots around this country. Now, how do you mobilize them against a political opposition which is gaining massive ground? And what we're seeing in most of the primaries is America First, if you will, Trumpian or very conservative candidates are being put forward for the November election, winning their primaries because of a very strong stance against what's happening right now in Washington, D.C. with the Biden regime. So what he's doing is almost like trying to inflame. It appears to me, this is my view, it looks like they're trying, someone back that's writing these speeches and taking this agenda is trying to inflame those activists so they can get back involved and actually turn the tide and maybe justify pushback if they cheat or take more corrupt actions in the November elections.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's okay, I'll equate it very clearly. It's like Adolf Hitler in the early 30s inciting the brown shirts to violence and then ultimately, you know, getting the government involved in Kristallnacht, you know, trying to destroy the Jews in the country.
Right. Now,
that's almost the exact same parallel. He's targeting it's a minority, but a very large minority, if a minority at all, of people that are really fed up with what's happening in Washington. But he's using law enforcement, he's using intimidation, and he's inciting people that have a proven track record of being violent and destructive.
Jimmy, I have to interrupt you just for a second. Now, law enforcement has always been the backbone of America, in my opinion. The FBI has always been an organization that really has been in there to help the people. The police department has always been an organization that was, you know, who are you going to call? The police department. The police department came and saved my bacon and my wife's bacon one night when somebody was trying to break into our house, and that was years ago. How did the Democrats manage to get the FBI and the police department, in your opinion, on their side?
Well, I'm not arguing that the police department.
I know you're not arguing.
I don't think they're on Biden's side.
How did they manage to do that?
Like I say, I don't think local police departments are actually on his side. I don't think state police departments in many cases are on his side. I think certain elements within the FBI are definitely on his side, or at least on the government side. And they have now shifted their view from being responsible to the people of the United States to being responsible to protect the government. And with the threat to the government as being a conservative ideology that says we need to get rid of a lot of the government, they're protecting the government.
Yeah.
And so the FBI in particular, what you have is a very successful effort by the Obama regime and to abuse the national security apparatus to spy on political opponents and then emplace people that supported their ideologies inside those powerful agencies in both Department of Justice and the FBI, as well as into the intelligence community,
yeah,
where they were shaping information to appease a leader. And now if they are caught doing it, they're worse. So they're called out on it. So what are they doing? They're attempting to cover it up. And you can see it with all the intel officials that signed the letter saying that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian misinformation, when in fact, there was no evidence it was, and the FBI knew that it wasn't because they'd had it for over a year. So that's how they've done this. Over a slow period of time, the Obama administration used the 9/11, the Patriot Act, to slowly infiltrate his people into government, and that now government is protecting itself, not the people. Mm-hmm. Local government, in America, we want to call 911 and have someone show up, right?
Yeah.
Many places in the world, that doesn't happen. I would say in most places in the world, that doesn't happen. We're very used to it. What we're seeing now, though, with the politicalization of law enforcement and the military, and you're seeing it with all these, with Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, undermining President Trump by calling the Chinese at the January 6th events and telling them that the government was stable and he would warn them if we were going to attack them. That's unbelievable. And then actually forcing other leaders in other services to say, you'll listen to me, you won't listen to Donald Trump. And then publicly putting it out in statements and books that have been written by Woodward and other people that show that he did that. And, oh, by the way, he walked away from actually the burning of the church out in front of Washington and said he apologized for being in a picture with the president for the use of the military in political terms, when in fact they had two Marines standing behind Joe Biden last night at the speech. It's unbelievable. And that's how it's slowly working itself into this frenzy. And the people in charge are very worried about being caught. And so now they're taking actions like raiding Mar-a-Lago. They're taking actions to intimidate and use law enforcement to silence political opposition. And it's becoming overwhelmingly evident, and hopefully most Americans are beginning to see it.
Yeah.
I want to say last night, ABC, NBC, CBS didn't even broadcast Joe Biden's speech. It's too bad. I wish they would have, because more Americans could have seen the idiocy of it and the actual corrupt nature and the evil, dark statements that he was making. CBS broadcast to understand Law and Order, NBC, Young Sheldon, ABC, a game show. So how many people actually watched it? Only the very, very strongly associated progressive socialist ideologues that are now trying to take power in the country without
that way.
Yeah. So it's a very dangerous situation, and this administration has failed miserably to do anything to defend or protect this nation.
Well, Jim, let me interrupt you. We've got about a minute left here, actually less than a minute left here to wrap this up. Let me wrap this up by saying I was hoping and praying that last night the speech would be somewhat conciliatory and America would come back together under, I don't care who the unifier is. If it's Joe Biden, that's great. In my opinion, last night simply did not work. And I think the future ahead of us is pretty grim, if you want to know the truth. Stick around, going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.